One of the hardest parts of getting older is feeling like something's off in your body, but not knowing exactly what. It's not just aging. It's often your hormones, too. When they fall out of balance, everything feels off. But here's the good news. This doesn't have to be the story of your next chapter. Hormone Harmony by Happy Mammoth is an herbal formula made with science-backed ingredients designed to fine-tune your hormones by balancing estrogen, testosterone, progesterone, and even stress hormones like cortisol. It helps with common issues such as hot flashes, poor sleep, low energy, bloating, and more. With over 40,000 reviews and a bottle sold every 24 seconds, the results speak for themselves. A survey found 86% of women lost weight, 77% saw an improved mood, and 100% felt like themselves again. Start your next chapter feeling balanced and in control. For a limited time, get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com with code NEXTCHAPTER at checkout. Visit happymammoth.com today. And get your old self back naturally.
Taxes was feeling so stuck. Sitting in traffic, squeezing into a parking spot, all to squeeze in getting tax help during your lunch break. Now Taxes is a TurboTax expert who does your taxes for you while you go about your day getting real-time notifications about their progress and the most money back guaranteed. Now this is Taxes, Intuit TurboTax. Get an expert now on TurboTax.com. Only available with TurboTax Live Full Service. Real-time updates only in iOS mobile apps. See guarantee details at TurboTax.com/guarantees.
TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
This is your good friend Patrick O'Dowd, and we are here on a Tuesday night to welcome you in to an NCAA March Madness edition of the Four Corners Podcast. The Four Corners Podcast is part of the ChairShot Radio Network here on thechairshot.com, where we remind you to always use your head.
TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
And this week, I got a special bracket expert here to join. Same bracket expert that joined me last year, for what it's worth. Like, you know, new show name, same team. That's right. I am joined by Mr. Saturday Night, the Executive Vice President of Talent Relations and Wednesday Night Programming on the Chair Shot Radio Network, one Mr. PC Tunney. How are you? Welcome into your first go around on the Four Corners Podcast.
Thanks for having me. I guess let's get this out of the way. Are you and Greg recording after this?
I believe so. Their texts have been exchanged. It's funny because like we're doing this show, and then I kind of got a heart out at about an hour because the young O'Dowd. We have a routine. We got to take care of routine. But, texted with Greg. I laughed because I was like, hey, man, I'm assuming we're going to talk about the John Cena segment, and then we'll see where else. It was like, is there anything else you want me to watch in Raw? Because I don't have 2.5 hours between when I get home from work to watch the entire episode of Raw. So, like, if there are some highlights, point some highlights, and it's even a lot more pressure today because – in addition to the NCAA tournament, which Tunney and I are going to talk about the bracket, we're going to talk about, you know, I don't know if we'll do full breakdowns or what we'll do as we go region by region, but we will talk about teams we like. We will absolutely give you our Final Four predictions. We will absolutely give you a national championship. I do find it a little bit challenging and tedious to call, 32 games and get it in an hour, even with the way we analyze. So talking about the regions, what stands out is probably going to be the way to go. But today is also opening day, technically, in baseball. The Cubs and the Dodgers played at 4 o'clock this morning or something like that, 4 or 5 a.m. this morning, and the Dodgers beat the Cubs as is expected. The Dodgers will beat most teams, even without the Dodgers were down somebody. I can't remember who it was. Somebody significant.
Mookie Betts was out.
Mookie Betts, that's who it was. He was ill. He was down with illness. Did not stop the Dodgers from winning 4-1. Shohei Ohtani getting a couple hits, making the Japanese crowd happy. So yay baseball! My team is going to be a train wreck. It's going to be great as the management there doesn't know what they're doing, and I just expect the Brewers to win what will be a. Let's be real. The Central is not a great division. It's just not.
The funny thing is, a lot of people would be surprised to hear this. I'm sure you won't be. The Brewers are the third most winning franchise in Major League Baseball in the last 10 seasons coming into this season.
Oh, yeah. They've been remarkably consistent.
It's,
yeah.
It's been crazy. We've been really lucky.
And they do it. They do it quietly, too. Like, nobody ever pays attention to them.
No. Like, Craig Counsell left and Murphy takes over and he wins manager of the year, right? Like, I mean, it's crazy. This year's going to be tough though.
And the media in Chicago is already burying Counsell for some decision he made today. It's so brutal to work.
Very stupid, but yeah, it's just, it's been a good time to be a Brewers fan.
Right. And it is a good time, at least for me personally, because this week and last week are two of my favorite weeks in all sports. And this coming Thursday and Friday are my two favorite days outside of the big opening day for Major League Baseball. I just have this like romantic love of baseball that just cannot be replaced. And like the pageantry of opening day baseball at various parks, whether like I'm a Cardinal fan and the things they do every year with the Hall of Famers and the red jackets and the parades and the Clydesdales and all that shit, just that gets me every time. Number two, though, is the NCAA tournament and setting up brackets. And I had to laugh today. So my boss's boss, her son is in high school. He's a basketball player. He's talented. He's a tall kid. We're not sure. Like, I'm not sure how good he's playing AAU ball. He's headhunted by AAU coaches, which is usually a good sign. But he's just a freshman. So he's got a lot of room to grow and stuff. But so she started talking to me about the NCAA tournament. And she was asking about like players to watch and games to check out and all this. And as she's going through all of this, I pull out this red folder from my work bag. She's like, "You've got a folder?" And I was like, her name is Dawn. I'm like, "Yeah, Dawn, this might surprise you given you know my organizational systems at work. This is the most organized I am probably for anything." Because I watch the selection show, R.E.P. Greg Gumbel, by the way. It was a nice little tribute to start the broadcast. And I write down region by region every team. It's going to be hard to see because of my background. Try to hold it in seed order, including the first four. And I use this sheet. I scratch the teams out on this sheet until there is one team left. I have been doing this since grade school. Then I currently only have one bracket filled out so far, but I have multiple brackets in my folder to do. For this show, I do the impulse bracket is what I call it. And so this is like I looked at this and I didn't think too much on a game, just picked a team and did that all the way to the Final Four in the championship game. We're going to do region by region, but the first thing I wanted to do, Tony, is looking at the bracket as a whole, and you can include these first four games, which are going on as we record this, and will be going on when this episode goes up tonight. Did anything in particular surprise you? I have one thing that surprised me, but it's the same thing that everybody's talking about right now with the bracket, so I'll hand it to you first.
Okay, it's North Carolina, right?
Yes.
Okay, but here's my...
It's the North Carolina.
Here's the weirdest thing ever. You're going to put North Carolina in, so you're going to let in six ACC teams, right? That's what ended up happening, right?
Right.
But then you're going to make Louisville an eight? That doesn't make any sense.
Right.
That just doesn't make any sense. Yeah, either they didn't beat anybody, and they shouldn't have more than four. Maybe the fifth team was the play-in team, but like... And you know what? Someone tell the governor of West Virginia to sit the fuck down.
Oh, God.
I mean, yeah, what the fuck? Let's waste some more taxpayer money for fucking crying out loud.
That's grandstanding at its finest. It's been a bad few days for West Virginia, too, because they just lost their head coach today. Indiana hired their head coach away today. And so DeVries is moving on from West Virginia over there. Other thing that surprised me about this bracket and the setup was Auburn maintaining the number one overall seed. And that's not and here's why. And it's splitting hairs. I want to say this, the number one seeds I think are right. A team that loses three out of its last four did not look particularly like it was a close game, but it wasn't the Auburn team we've seen earlier in the season. It felt very clear to me looking at this bracket that and I think this even got reinforced at one point that the seeding for most of the tournament was done well before major conference tournament play. And that's not surprising.
Well, look at Michigan ended up at a 5 and they win the conference tournament.
Yeah.
But you know what? Mainly the seeding ends up being a regular season kind of, grade.
Yeah.
And that's kind of, you might see where some things are super even, you might see that play out in a conference tournament, right? And things of that nature. But for the most part, you're not moving up more than maybe a seed or down a seed from what you're doing in the conference.
Right. I think the biggest thing is really the bid stealing that can happen with, some not mid-major anymore, but those I don't even know how to describe it. It's not a group of five sort of conference, but it's not the little sisters of the poor. It's like those middling, like American Athletic Conference, conference used to be it for a while.
Conference
the
US,
Valley used to be that for a while.
Conference
USA.
The A-10, the Western, the WAC.
Right.
These conferences where their best team sometimes is in the top 10 in the nation. And then when that happens, they usually get two. But do they get a third? And is that the one that steals away from?
The Gonzaga, the West Coast guy, the WCC with Wisconsin and not St. Mary's. Yeah, St. Mary's, Wisconsin or Gonzaga, not Wisconsin. Gonzaga and St. Mary's. Sorry, I'm going to talk about Wisconsin in a positive way later. All right. Just wait. I'll tell you why later, but we'll get to that when we talk brackets. But those conferences, that bid stealing thing, and then they kind of got to blow up and somebody on that bubble gets pushed aside. But I didn't feel bad for Indiana. I didn't feel particularly bad for West Virginia. It's tough. And at some point, it's splitting hairs. I think the look of the athletic director for North Carolina being the chair of the committee was not, that's a bad look.
They got 68 teams in there. Maybe you should have won more games.
They did.
Then, right? I don't really see anything
it is very
unbelievably
true.
Egregious.
I do agree with Jay Billis, who said we've spent way too much time arguing who the second 35th best team in the country is going over this. So I do think that is accurate. But fun to talk about this whole. All right, we are going to take our first commercial break. We're going to do a break, two regions, second break, two regions, final four picks. If that sounds good to you, that's what we're going to run with. And I'm going to let you play some music when we come back from commercial break to get us into the appropriate mood. We're going to go and manage the left side of the bracket first, though. That is going to be the South and West regions when we come back from this commercial break. So stay tuned. Come back. It's going to be exciting. You are listening to the NCAA Tournament Edition of the Four Corner Podcast here on the Chairshot Radio Network, part of thechairshot.com.
Why should you visit thechairshot.com? Thechairshot.com is your home for hard-hitting reviews, news, opinion, and analysis with attitude. Why? Because you're smarter than the average fan. Thechairshot.com. Always use your head.
And we are back here on the Four Corners Podcast, a part of the ChairShot Radio Network here on thechairshot.com, where we remind you to always use your head. Make sure you head over to prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot, by the way, and invest in some sweet, sweet chair shot swag. We got all kinds of great stuff. $19.99 for a t-shirt. Get a soft style for a few dollars more, and your giblets will thank you. All right, Tony, we are going to start doing some regions.
We're going to start
on the left side of the bracket, upper left-hand corner. We're going to cover the South region, which for me was the region where I got a little crazy. Real quick, though, when I say crazy, my Final Four is still Chalk City. Like, I was so challenged. And by Chalk City, I mean every one of my Final Four is a one or two. I know there's the stats of, like, threes and stuff, but the top eight teams in this tournament are so strong. But I went nuts on this one. And I'll start with my hot take, because my hot take is the bracket. I don't have Auburn getting out of the second round of the tournament. I have them getting upset by Creighton in the second round after Creighton beats what I think is an overrated Louisville team. Auburn just hasn't played its best basketball. They don't look like they haven't been playing good ball for quite a bit of time now. I think they're the most vulnerable number one seed, and I think they are ripe for a surprise. And that is my hot take surprise, and I'm okay with it. So that was my biggest hot take. Did you have any hot takes out of this region, or any matchups that really stood out to you?
I think that Louisville-Creighton game in the first round is going to be ridiculous. Those are both really good teams. I think Creighton is another team a lot of people don't know about. The Big East was pretty solid at the top this year. I like Marquette in the tournament just because their guard play and Cam Jones is really good. I think they're a team. They're kind of like Wisconsin, where I think they can beat Michigan State. So I do have a homer pick there. I do have Marquette to the Sweet 16, but losing to Iowa State. And I have Auburn, like they have already done once this season, losing to Texas A&M
in the
Sweet 16. So my Elite Eight, and so I won't give my Final Four away, but I can give you my Elite Eight, Texas A&M and Iowa State. But this is a really good bracket, to be honest with you. Auburn, Michigan State, Iowa State, Texas A&M, a 7 in Marquette, an 8 in Louisville. This is a really, really – a Michigan at 5. This is a really good part of the bracket here. And who knows if we get any upsets here. I don't have anything major upset in the first round in this part of the bracket.
The big sexy upset that a lot of the other experts have been doing, a lot of people do not believe in Michigan and have had UC San Diego beating Michigan in that 5-12, because everybody lives under that like myth of a 5 has to go down and San Diego is the one. They're like, Michigan turns the ball over a lot. Michigan also out rebounds everybody that they face almost, and they offset their turnovers by getting the ball. Because of the Creighton upset that I created, my Elite Eight, actually, I differed a little bit from you. Iowa State's just so banged up, and they're good, but like they just announced one of their top scorers is out again for the entire tournament right after they got their seed. Like they got their seed, and then the coach was like, all right, well, I can't remember the guy's name, but we're without him for the tournament. His season is done. So I picked an experienced Ole Miss over Iowa State in the second round. I actually have this is a Big Ten homer guy. I have Michigan and Michigan State in my Elite Eight.
Okay.
So moving down to the West bracket, this was my worst offense of chalk. Because I have 1 through 4 going to the Sweet 16 in this bracket.
I think Arkansas is going to take out Kansas. I don't think Kansas.
That I agree with.
I don't think Kansas has been playing that great. Trying to scroll over here. There we go. I even think Arkansas could take out St. John's. I don't really believe in St. John's, to be honest with you, and I have them losing. I do have Florida and Maryland on the other side, and then Florida and Texas Tech in the Elite Eight.
Nice. Florida, I watched Florida. I told you, I watched Florida for the first time in the SEC title game.
I watched it,
which
too.
That Florida Tennessee game was some I felt some very high level college basketball just in two really good teams getting after each other. Florida's three guards, their three guard attack is such a dangerous three headed monster. I kind of love them. I love that you put Maryland, though, in the Sweet 16 as well, because Derek Queen and I always forget his Julian Reese is the other. They do this. The Crab Five is what they call them. Like their starting lineup is really, really tough. They have no depth after their starting five, which is why I think Florida beats them and gets on into the Elite Eight. And then every pundit that freaking worships that piece of shit Rick Pitino. I hate Rick Pitino so much. And it's not even about the crap that got him in trouble with the restaurant and the chick on the table and all that stuff from like 20 years ago. I just think the dude's a toolbox. I hate listening to him talk. I hate who he is. I still put him in the Elite Eight. Because they defend. I'm a little more sold on them. I do think Texas Tech could beat them. But, man, do I hate Pitino. And so while every pundit and their brother is in love with them, I don't get it. I don't get it. I don't understand. He is a good coach. I won't argue that. He's a good coach. I can't deny that. But he's a dick. And I hate him. It's like Bobby Knight. When Bobby Knight was in his heyday and was a great coach, I respected what Indiana did and what Indiana was, but he was a jerk. And you know, the great Lou Henson, who called him a bully. He's just a bully. That was me. So my Elite Eight was Florida and St. John's. While I have a little bit more time, also fuck Mizzou. You're trash. Nobody likes you. And we don't want to see you in the NCAA tournament. Sincerely, this University of Illinois fan.
That's kind of mean.
It is mean. But, I mean, it's Mizzou.
You got 5 wins against top 25.
Yeah, Illinois beat them. Oh. Most inconsistent team in basketball beat them. So I don't know what you're saying. 5 wins against the top. They are a good team. They're a surprise good team. Dennis Gates deserves a lot of credit. And if his team's in a different conference, they might even win their conference.
I'm trying to see what I try. Come on, you. This is a very unnavigable bracket I'm under here.
See, this is why you got to be an old man like me and write your bracket out.
Well, I mean, technology is failing me right now.
In ink, and I didn't even use an auto pen like Joe Biden did.
What the fuck?
I did have Colorado State over Memphis, too. That was a fuck Benny Hardaway. All right, well, while Tony figures that out, we're going to take – it's all right. We're moving right along because that's what we do. We are going to take our second commercial break. When we get back, we're going to look at the right half of the bracket, cover the East and the Midwest. And just to not be a total homer, Tunney, we'll do the Midwest first so that you don't think I'm saving Illinois' bracket for last. So stick around for that. While you scroll through your bracket, I'm going to run another commercial, and we will come right back. You are listening to the Four Corners Podcast here on the Chairshot Radio Network, part of the Chairshot.com.
This is your boy Kenny Killer telling you to make sure you check out thechairshot.com, bringing you breaking news, interviews, podcasts galore, everything pro wrestling. Make sure you check it out, thechairshot.com.
Welcome back into the Four Corners Podcast here on the Chairshot Radio Network, part of thechairshot.com. ProWrestlingTees.com/chairshot, where we remind, and we remind you to all use your head. Buy our shirts, you know, pay the bills, all that fun stuff. How's the technology going, buddy?
I wanted to say one of the bigger things I have in Arkansas, not just the first round, but I have them going all the way to the Elite Eight.
Oh, did you not do your Elite Eights? Did I ruin that for you?
No, I couldn't bring it up. So that's why I was like, instead of listening to nothing. Instead of listening to PC Tony's frustration with this technology, but we're good. We're back. It's all good in the hood. Welcome back.
All right. Welcome back as well. All right. We're on to the right side of the bracket. We're going to start in the lower right quadrant this time so that nobody can claim Patrick for University of Illinois bias. We will not do the Midwest last. We are going to do the Midwest bracket now. Interesting bracket, in my opinion, just with some of the matchups and things is that I did forget to mention, you mentioned Arkansas. There is something a little magical about Bill Self versus John Calipari in the very, you know, the first round of the NCAA tournament. That is not an accident, kids. Let's just put that out there.
How many times was it like either the second round or the Sweet 16, Calipari and Izzo would match up, you know?
Oh, yeah, right. And what was the other thing that was really interesting,
or
I Krzyzewski. Saw this.
Krzyzewski
so
and Izzo,
it's not
right?
only it's not only an interesting bracket, but there are six, I think it's something like six active coaches are in the Hall of Fame, in the Naismith Basketball Hall of Fame, and four of them are in the same building for the first round of the NCAA tournament because Calipari is in there. Bill Self is in the Hall of Fame. Patino is in there. And I can't remember who the fourth one is, but it was this crazy. Plus, you have UConn playing in that same building. So you've also got Hurley, the two-time national champion, defending champion UConn, who we didn't even talk about. Because their team is just not the same team that they've been the last couple of years. But anyway, in the Midwest, number one seed Houston, number two seed Tennessee. I was, as an Illinois fan, you talk about seeds being determined before conference tournament, tournament is happening, and I think that definitely happened in Illinois' case because I was not expecting a six seed. Even though they have to play the winner of Texas and Xavier, I was not expecting a six seed for Illinois after getting boat raced by Maryland. They were down by as many as 36 in a conference tournament game. They ended up losing by about 20, and it was more like Maryland was just playing with its food for the last 2/3 of that game. It was just never a contest. Illinois did not show up for their second round matchup, but. He gave me a hard time on Sunday because I was talking to Ray about Illinois. So now I'm going to talk about Illinois in a little bit of detail because I can. I love Illinois. I homer picked them in my impulse picks to make it to a Sweet 16 because all of the teams that are in their pod are ridiculously inconsistent and any one of them can win the game or can win two games in a row. Kentucky is down a starter. At least one starter, another one who has had shoulder issues, picked up another. He re-injured the shoulder. Mark Pope says he's going to play, which great, but he's definitely not going to be 100%. None of these teams, with the exception of maybe Texas, or actually not even Texas, maybe Xavier, kind of scare me. because Xavier's about the only team out of this list of four in Illinois' little pod that will get physical with you defensively and kind of get up in you. And that's where Illinois is not good. When a team gets up and punches you in the mouth, that's when Illinois struggles. And Xavier can do that defensively. Now, can Xavier get past Texas? I don't know. Texas has a top five NBA lottery pick at point guard who can go off for 40 at any given moment. And, you know, if you let him get loose, all bets are off. So that is my my brief Illinois statement. I have trouble picking, and I'll admit this, I have trouble picking against Matt Painter and Purdue. Because I've been hurt so much by them. And even though they're kind of a two-person team, I still think they make it to the Sweet 16 before getting beat by Houston, as Houston will be one of my two Elite Eight picks heading into the second weekend.
No, I got – who do you have in the Elite Eight then?
I have Houston and Tennessee in the Elite Eight.
And so do I. I think they're just head and shoulders better than the rest of the teams. You know, Kentucky's decent. I think Tennessee's better. I think the regular season had proven that in conference tournament. And I don't know that Purdue's as good as everybody thought they were, being in the top 10 most of the beginning part of the year. That 8-9 matchup is really a coin toss to me. I took Gonzaga.
I just took Mark Few because he wins. He's gone some ridiculous. It's almost like 8 Sweet 16s in a row. Like he just always makes the second weekend.
Usually they're a higher seed than that, but
right.
I don't trust Clemson. I think McNeese State, Alan Breed, I think is the kid's name, is a really good guard that they have. They do play defense as well. I can see them with an upset. I don't think they're good enough to beat Purdue though. I do have Xavier. Definitely Xavier beating Illinois in the first round. I don't know if it's Texas, if I got to go back and, you know, do a little more research, but that's what I have for now. Sorry, Patrick.
It's fine, man.
And, you know, UCLA losing to Tennessee, Tennessee beating Kentucky, and just like you, Houston and Tennessee.
Men, if you've lost your hair, it doesn't mean you can't find it again. Try Hims Hair Loss Solutions, and you'll be joining hundreds of thousands of subscribers who found their hair again. It can be hard for men to deal with hair loss, even though it is common. Luckily, I'm here to provide you with a solution so you don't even have to talk about it. Through Hims, you can restore your hair by accessing their personalized hair loss solutions. Men value many different things about their appearance, but if you're a guy who really cares about your hair and find that it's slowly going away, you might be feeling discouraged when you look in the mirror. And that's where Hims comes in. Check out their personalized hair loss solutions, and you can start seeing your hair grow back in as little as 3 to 6 months. Hims provides you with convenient access to a range of hair loss treatments that work, all from the comfort of your couch. Hims makes treating hair loss simple with doctor-trusted options and clinically proven ingredients, like finasteride and minoxidil that can regrow hair in as little as 3 to 6 months. Choose from personalized chewable, oral, spray, and serum treatments to find what works best for you. The process is simple and 100% online, so there are no uncomfortable doctor visits. Answer a few questions, and a medical provider will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your treatment is sent directly to you for free. No insurance is needed, and one low price covers everything from treatments to ongoing care. Hims has hundreds of thousands of trusted subscribers, and they can help you get your confidence back too with visibly thicker and fuller hair. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your personalized hair loss treatment options. hims.com/Hail Mary. Results may vary based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription products require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if a prescription is appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for full details and important safety information.
Taxes was feeling so stuck. Sitting in traffic, squeezing into a parking spot, all to squeeze in getting tax help during your lunch break. Now Taxes is a TurboTax expert who does your taxes for you, while you go about your day getting real-time notifications about their progress and the most money back guaranteed. Now this is Taxes. Intuit TurboTax. Get an expert now on TurboTax.com Only available with TurboTax Live Full Service. Real-time updates only in iOS mobile apps. See guarantee details at TurboTax.com/guarantees.
Two really good teams this year.
Yeah, Tennessee, they're Zakai Ziegler is this just little dude who he just picks everybody's pocket. He's so good defensively. You know, SEC Defensive Player of the Year, terrific, terrific player. I think he's gonna be fun. But we'll see if this is the year for Rick Barnes, right? Like, is this the year for Rick Barnes?
Ask Chris
Does
Platt.
It happen?
Ask Chris Platt. He'll say no.
He will say no. He's been right. It's hard to argue because he's oftentimes been right. All right, last region to cover, the East. The East region, the Duke Blue Devils are the number one seed. Alabama is the number two. I wish Ray Cash were here so that he could hear me say nice things about Arizona. But the only reason I'm going to say nice things about Arizona is because while I don't know much about how they've done this year, I literally asked them 2 weeks ago or 2 days ago whether they were even in the tournament. I don't trust Oregon. I actually think they're ripe for a upset against Liberty.
I got Liberty as well.
Think, you what's that?
I also have Liberty. Good call.
And I think, I know John Gross from experience. So while it's nice that the Akron Zips made it to the tournament, I think Arizona beats them, and then Arizona beats Liberty to get to the Sweet 16. I'm also going to say nice things about your team, Wisconsin.
Yeah.
Because this year, Greg Gard was the first year where I was like, all right, maybe I need to face the fact that dude can actually coach. And I think not just coach, but he gets more out of his players than kind of the sum of their parts would tell you. Like every year, Wisconsin loses a superstar, you know, and then they just replace him. And this year, you know, it's
John Tonje.
God, what's his name? John Tonje, yeah. I was thinking of the guy before, Johnny, what's his nuts?
I don't even remember anymore.
Right. But,
Davis.
You know,
Davis?
So.
Davis?
Yes, Johnny Davis. Or, no, that's. And he's in the league now. But anyway, John Tonje comes out of nowhere. Like literally nobody saw him coming. Wisconsin is this old experienced team. And even when they lose, like one, they never true. Like they tend to lose because they got out talented at the end of the day. But they're pretty darn disciplined with the ball. They don't give up a lot of turnovers. They rebound pretty well. They can all shoot. Like, they fucking scorched the Nets. They made like 17 threes in a Big Ten tournament game on their way to losing in the title rounds.
The other thing, too, is it's tough to beat them at the end of a game when they're winning because they are the second best regular season free throw shooting team in the history of men's basketball in the NCAA Division I.
It's insane. If you're down to them, you will stay down because your best bet is to what, foul Steven Crowell, and he's like a 72% free throw shooter or something like that.
82.8% by an individual in college is regarded as one of the better free throw shooters in the entire land. As a team, it's ridiculous.
Right. They are so darn good. And so I have them, taking on Alabama and beating Alabama. I have them in my Elite Eight taking on the Dukies.
We have the same Elite Eight there. I got the Liberty up.
Oh,
I guess I got the Liberty upset. I guess Baylor is an upset. I don't know that I would call it an upset.
Yeah.
8-9. That's always kind of a coin toss. You heard what I said.
I did.
I do like the Badgers take care of BYU. I like St. Mary's to beat Alabama and the Badgers to take care of St. Mary's. I think St. Mary's is a decent team. Alabama has had some hiccups this year where they just kind of they don't finish games sometimes. So we'll see. They're a very talented team, though. They could end up.
It's crazy because they're loaded.
Yeah, they could end up in the Final Four and no one would blink an eye. It's just, you know, every once in a while they have these little blips. So it should be fun. Another loaded part of the bracket. It's funny, Patrick. I have off Friday, and Wisconsin plays in the afternoon Thursday and Marquette plays in the early evening Friday. And I just would have needed those two things to be flipped. You know what I mean? But no big deal. I'll still enjoy Friday being off of work. I'm sure you're off one of the days or both.
I always take the Thursday and Friday off.
I wasn't sure.
Friday. So Thursday, because it's bowling, I won't do anything outside of just watch games at home. But every year, Friday, of first round day, I go to Buffalo Wild Wings. And I walk up to the nice lady who is seating people. And I was like, look, put me in a table where I'm surrounded by four televisions with each channel so that I can have all four games. And then she seats me. And when the wait staff comes, I introduce myself to the wait staff. I say, wait staff. We'll say her name is Jennifer today. Jennifer, it is very nice to meet you. I'm going to be here for at least 4 hours. You will be tipped well. All I ask is that you come and check and make sure my beer is okay. And if I need another round of Asian Zing boneless wings, you bring them my way. Because I'm going to sit here and enjoy basketball with my bracket and the blank bracket that I fill out. Because I do fill one out that's blank along the way. It's currently posted on my office door. And that, it, to me, is the best afternoon one can have.
So what time are you starting Friday?
B-Dubs opens at, I think they open at 11. So I'll probably not get there till around 11:30, 12. So I'll miss like a little bit of the beginning of the games, but I will then settle in at around noon.
All right,
to just watch what's up.
Starting around noon Eastern on Friday, I encourage everyone to follow along with Patrick O'Dowd and PC Tunney on X as they tweet back and forth, possibly pictures of their beers and wings, as I will be at another establishment in my local municipality. So look for all of that at Wrestling Realist, no I in wrestling, and at PC Tunney.
It'll be a good time. I love it. I used to have a buddy of mine before he moved halfway across the country. He'd come with me and hang out too. And it's just, it's become the thing. It's my jam. It's my joy. This time of year. Quick shout out, by the way, to the women's bracket. I was particularly Dawn Staley over in South Carolina, as she was more than a little pissed that her team got a number two seed, and let it be known in a not so subtle way. But if you haven't seen Juju Watkins play for USC, you should do yourself a favor and check her out over on the women's side. She is crushing everything that Caitlin Clark did for Iowa. Like, she's on pace to break Caitlin Clark records if she stays in college all the way through. So. All right, man. Hey, 40 minutes tight. We got ourselves to our Elite Eights. Do we want to go all the way through the bracket? Do we want to finish it?
Yeah.
All right. So let's go back to the South region.
Because we can repick when we get to the Sweet 16 then next week.
Yeah, do a redux.
Yes, you can
do a
redux.
All right. So South region. I had Michigan and Michigan State in the Elite Eight. I went with Michigan State. I got Tom Izzo in what will perhaps be his last Final Four, making it to the Final Four.
You know, I didn't hear the Iowa State news. So
sorry.
That's okay. I am going to homer it out even more, and we're going to put Marquette in the Elite Eight. Why not? Let's do it.
Nice.
Tanjay and Jones go nuts. Raise their NBA stock. I mean, likely it's going to be Michigan State. But I would still have Texas A&M. I believe in Texas A&M. I think they're a really good team that can go on a run, that can play with anybody. They played in the best conference in the land this year, and they've got big wins against a lot of those top teams. So give me Texas A&M coming out of a really tough South bracket.
True. Down in the West, I had Florida and St. John's as my Elite Eight picks. I think Patino's run ends in the Elite Eight. I have Florida going to the Final Four. Like I said, I'm chalk all the way through, so Florida in the Final Four for me.
I think Florida's toughest game is going to be against UConn. No offense to Maryland. And I do have Arkansas on the Cinderella run, but yeah, I have Florida coming out of here. Florida to me is probably the most impressive team coming into the tournament.
I would agree with you 100%. And, it's going to be, they're dangerous. In the Midwest, we have Houston and Tennessee. For me, I think we both matched up on this one. Houston and Tennessee in both of these. I'm going with the Volunteers. I think this is the year for Rick Barnes to make it to a Final Four. I think Tennessee, it's that game is going to be like 62-58. I feel like these two teams defend so well. I think that could be a low-scoring, muck-it-up, ugly game, but I think Tennessee comes out on top. Again, toughest conference, one of the best defensive teams in the nation. I got them over Houston. Wait another year, Kelvin Sampson.
No, give me LJ Cryer and the crew. Houston holding teams under 60 points, under 59 even this year. So give me Houston to the Final Four, my friend. As Lee Corso would say, not so fast, my friend. Wrong sport, but
hey, that's why we do these shows. And if we always matched, it would be boring. Not Marquette in the Elite Eight boring, but you
well,
know,
I put both my teams in the Elite Eight.
You did. Wisconsin though gets no further than the Elite Eight. Cooper Flagg and company. Cooper Flagg will be healthy. Anybody who is wondering about Cooper Flagg's ankle, he rolled it. It's going to be well over a week in time of recovery. He's fine. He was walking under his own power after he injured it. Duke just didn't need him. Like, period. They just didn't. Even when North Carolina made that run to make it interesting in the ACC tournament, it just didn't matter. Too much talent. I got Duke over the Badgers into the Final Four.
Secret, Duke don't need him this weekend either.
No, they don't.
They're not worried about Gonzaga or Baylor without him. He will play, though, this weekend. I don't know how much the first game, though. Maybe, like, only the first half, the first game, to be honest with you, playing a 16.
Yeah. Just get back into the flow.
But, yeah, Duke. I have Duke. And I'll just go ahead and say it right away. Let's stay on that half. I have Duke and Houston. What do you have, Duke and Tennessee, right?
Yes, I do.
From the sound of what I'm hearing from you, I think you feel the same way as me. I have Duke in the final.
I also have Duke in the final. I do.
I think we have the same final.
I'm going to say Florida. You got Florida
yeah,
in the final as well.
I got Florida.
They're the two
Texas
best
A&M.
Teams in the country. Like, I don't think there's any question.
No.
You know, you can crap all over the ACC as being down this year, and they were down. Like, we talked about at the top of the show with the whole North Carolina-Louisville thing. But the talent is so overwhelmingly good over there in North Carolina and at Duke, and they're gonna make. I think they're them and Florida easily the two best teams. This might be where we differ. I don't know. I fell in love with Florida. I'm gonna admit it. I'm picking Florida to beat Duke in what I think is going to be a really really high level, high scoring basketball game. I got it 92-89, Florida over Duke in the national champions.
I got Duke 85-81 over Florida. And this is all assuming that Cooper Flagg is playing at 100% by the time we get to the Final Four. Because if not, they may have a tough time getting past, you know, the Sweet 16 matchup. They got Arizona, I think. So, you know, they have some basketball to play after the first two rounds. And if Cooper Flagg's not completely healthy, that's something else. But everything I said today was the assumption that we both have there, that Cooper Flagg is ready to go and they're good to go. And yeah, man, that just sounds like a fun final right now. It just sounds like we'd be robbed of a great basketball matchup. You know, if it's almost like, it's almost like I'd rather just see like the best 16 teams be able to go ahead and be put in four quadrants and they play a round robin and then one out of each advances. And that way we get more matchups with better teams instead of like, who cares about the first round, to be honest with you.
So, it is funny because I love the first round just because there is the crazy. And it's not as much as you think. Like, I was listening to a podcast and they actually pulled it out that people think that there's like a bajillion upsets that take place. There really aren't on average. And the way the NCAA defines an upset in their stats is a team that's seeded five or more lower than the team they beat. And in those cases, it's something like on average, like the it's like 8 total, maybe not even half. It's less than half every year. It sounds like what you're describing is that they should take the NCAA tournament and leave it alone and put the teams that are going to that Vegas Crown Cup thing into the NCAA tournament and put the 16 teams that are that we love that are these top, you know, these top 16 teams, the Sweet 16,
give me a,
over in that Vegas Cup.
Give me a 5 seed or that deserves to be a 4.
A 5 seed that deserves to be a 4? Looking at these 5 seeds? Maybe Michigan, but only on the strength of them winning the NCAA or winning the Big Ten tournament. Memphis doesn't impress me.
So basically, clear-cut, there's a pretty clear-cut top 16, right?
Oh, yeah. I don't think there's any debate. And I think if Iowa State was a fully healthy team, by the way, I think that there'd be a different argument there, just for what it's worth, you know, in our whole talk. So,
but that's what I'm saying. I'd love to see more matchups with those teams as opposed to, you know, the other stuff. But I guess that's what the conference tournaments are for. It's a great thing. We'd love it every single year.
And the Sweet 16, those matchups, those games are always way more dramatic fun. The Sweet 16, the Elite Eight, you know, the first weekend is for the little guys, for the hope. And the one or two teams that will sneak through, because none, you know, very rarely are we 100% on a Sweet 16. So that's the joy of the tournament. And on that note, we're going to bring this to a close. Thank you again, Tony, for jumping on, doing this, talking brackets. It was a hell of a good time. Glad we were able to cover it. Glad we weren't matching up all the way through, which I knew we wouldn't. We'll have to do this again with we'll call it a bracket reset when we have a Sweet 16, and we'll actually like analyze games a little bit harder that time because we'll have a little more time. I think we can actually dive into a matchup a little bit.
So if what I'm hearing correctly, you people will be able to listen to this Tuesday night because there'll be a Greg DeMarco show Wednesday morning, but you can always go back and listen to this anytime before the tournament starts. I'd be game to do it. Same bat time, same bat channel next week, Patrick, and we'll have a Sweet 16 then. So that'll be great.
Yeah, I think we can make it so. All right, before we get out of here, tell everybody where to follow, what they need to follow.
I just at Chairshot Media on X. Follow me at PC Tunney on all your streaming platforms and Chairshot Radio Network. Everywhere you find podcasts, thechairshot.com. Tons of great wrestling coverage right now and in a world of great professional wrestling. Time to be a fan. So check all that out.
Cool. And you can follow me on the X, Twitter, and other social media platforms at Wrestling Realist. That is at WrestlingRealist. Thank you, everyone, for listening to this NCAA Championship Edition, our Tournament Edition of the Four Corners Podcast. It has been a great time. Make sure you get out there, check those brackets, have fun, and listen to everything Chairshot. This has been the Four Corners Podcast here on the Chairshot Radio Network, part of thechairshot.com.
Thechairshot.com. Always use your head.
You're a startup founder. Finding product market fit is probably your number one priority. But to land bigger customers, you also need security compliance. Obtaining your SOC 2 or ISO 27001 certification can open those big doors, but they take time and energy, pulling you away from building and shipping. That's where Vanta comes in. Vanta is the all-in-one compliance solution helping startups get audit ready and build a strong security foundation quickly and painlessly. Vanta automates the manual security tasks that slow you down, helping you streamline your audit. The platform connects you with trusted experts to build your program, auditors to get you through audits quickly, and a marketplace for essentials like pen testing. So whether you're closing your first deal or gearing up for growth, Vanta makes compliance easy. Join over 8,000 companies, including Y Combinator and Techstar startups, who trust Vanta. For a limited time, get $1,000 off Vanta at vanta.com/simplify. That's VANTA.com/simplify for $1,000 off.